comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. Last night on this show, I discussed a strange signal that we picked up yesterday here in the studio. I played it for you. And I showed you the results of some research, some investigation on that signal done by Dr. Jeff Bird. And we had Dr. Bird on the air with us. And we had several callers who were telling that, you know, this they've heard this before and here's what it is. One caller, Rich, I believe was his name, said that it was a well-known problem, a well-known issue between Cox Cable and Motorola cable modems. And he described how it's a signal that kind of gets trapped in a loop, and that's what it is. And I had some questions about that. Maybe it is that, but I had some questions about that, questions that through the night I repeated and nobody was able to answer. I invited Rich to call me after the show because I wanted to get more detailed information from him about this, and he didn't call. But I did get a telephone call today from Dr. Bird, and he had done further research. And we're going to hear the result of that research tonight. He's going to join me on the other side of the break. We're going to try and limit our discussion of this signal to the first segment of the show. And then I've got some stuff I want to share with you, and we can go open line. I'm really going to try to do that if we can. Let it suffice to say that according to Dr. Bird, this signal that we picked up is definitely not the kind of a loop signal that was talked about by Rich. Sounds similar and even looks somewhat similar when you put it on the computer and you look at you graph out the signal. Looks somewhat similar. But there are big differences as well. And he says it's definitely not that. We also are going to be talking tonight with Steve. You've heard of Steve from Georgia that calls the show. And I recorded a conversation with him earlier today because he's working tonight and could not be on the show tonight. He's at work as I speak to you right now. But he will be with us via his recorded conversation with me earlier today. I think you're going to find this really interesting. And you may still think it's something else. That's okay. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm trying to find out what it is. All right, we'll step away for a break, and then we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and in this first segment, we have Dr. Jeff Bird with us, sort of. As he and I have talked about this throughout the day, his communications have been hit right up until just before the show. It was still happening, and I think probably it's still happening now. Jeff, are you with us?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. And you need to understand something about this. People make assumptions. They think they know something when they don't know something. Jeff owns a radio station. Jeff owns a radio network. Jeff is one of, really one of the top engineers, electronic engineers in this country. PhD from Purdue. Is that correct?
I had undergraduate work at Purdue. I got my PhD from Alexandria University.
And has done lots and lots of work in a lot of different fields that are very, you might say, esoteric. So when his comms are getting hit, when his communications are getting hit, it's not that he's got, you know, some kind of weird stuff happening with his technology and he doesn't know what it is. And I mean, this guy designs high-end medical electronic devices. And so he was getting hit hard today while we were trying to talk. Jeff, after the show last night, of course we heard from Rich and maybe one other that this signal that we intercepted here in the studio yesterday and that I recorded and that I played last night on the air, we heard, oh yeah, I hate to burst your bubble, but here's what that is. It's a well-known issue between Cox cable and Motorola cable modems. Of course, the problem with that right up front is I don't have either one of those. But it could be that issue with another cable company and another type of modem. And you looked into it. What did you find?
Oh, absolutely correct. Rich was absolutely correct. If you just look at everything just at a quick glance, it fits the pattern exactly, which is kind of weird. However, when you start looking at the individual pulses, they don't quite match. The problem's well known with the A to D converters going into a loop. However, you know, the one thing that's kind of curious is why would that get into your audio in your computer, however, not get into the audio of your voice over IP?
Yeah, by telephone. Yeah. You said something to me about a difference in the shape of the wave on the graph as well.
Yeah, the standard thing, I looked it up, the standard problem has to do with the A to D converters. There is a loop problem. And the main thing is that waveform is not symmetrical on both sides.
With the ADD loop.
Yeah, if you take the picture you showed last night of the individual pulse and remove all the stuff on the left side of it preceding that big spike, then you'd have that particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically because, you know, with the A to D conversion, you have filtering and things like that, and those things have, you know, that's what they're intended to do, is to convert the analog to digital, or vice versa, and feed it in or out. But the waveform, I mean, the patterns almost line up perfectly. I mean, I can see where Rich came up with that. I mean, it's absolutely almost perfect to that pattern. However, when you look real closely at the signal, it doesn't match.
So the pattern, when you say the pattern, we're talking about, for instance, when we put the graph up that shows, it looks like a bar graph or a barcode, You're saying that that pattern lines up, but the individual pulses are not the same kind of pulses.
Yeah, in the one picture where it was kind of zoomed out and you saw all these spikes that looked like a barcode, that matches almost identically. However, when you zoom in and you start looking at the individual pulses and their waveform constructs, they look vastly different.
Okay.
So in other words, you know, it looks very close to the problem, which is kind of strange because it almost seems to be done in purposely for that very reason.
All right, so your conclusion then is that this is not the ADD loop signal, it's something else. Is that correct?
Yeah, and you know, when Steve called in last night and he started talking about biological signals, it started triggering some things, and I did some research on that, and I think Steve's onto something.
We're going to hear from Steve in just a little bit. Jeff, are you familiar with Andrew Breitbart?
Oh, definitely.
For those who are not familiar with Andrew Breitbart, folks, he was a very vocal journalist, a prolific journalist, and pretty much, I think you could say, more than pretty much, I think you could say he was a very conservative journalist. And what happened was he got an interview with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. This is right when, in fact, the night before the press conference that Joe Arpaio did, the first press conference, where he talked about his investigation into the birth certificate of Barack Obama. And Breitbart interviewed him the night before via telephone and was going to write an article about it the next day. Suddenly dropped dead, they said, of heart failure. And then one of the pathologists that worked on him died, and I think, Jeff, didn't they say that was poisoning?
Yeah. I think it was I believe it was either cyanide or arsenic poisoning.
Yeah. A big mystery, and it has caused a lot of people. I don't know that Breitbart was assassinated. Would not surprise me at all, but I don't know that. But it has caused a lot of people in the alternative media community to coin a new phrase, and they'll say, you know, you better be careful, they'll Breitbart you. And what they're talking about is what happened to Andrew Breitbart could happen to you. And so it's a new term, being Breitbarted. I don't know that what we captured was a Breitbart signal. In other words, a signal that can cause a heart attack. I don't know that. And that does not imply that I'm saying Breitbart was the subject of that technology. That technology does exist. Am I correct, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely.
The technology absolutely exists. They can turn on a machine, aim it at you, dial up the correct frequency, and you die of a heart attack. Bang, right there. So I don't know that happened to Andrew Breitbart. It wouldn't surprise me. But using the term that has been picked up in the alternative media circles, I don't know that we picked up a Breitbart-type signal. What I am fairly confident of. I have a lot of confidence in what Dr. Bird tells me here. The signal we got is not the one that got explained to us by callers last night. He's analyzed the signal. He's super qualified to do so. And he's determined that's not what this is. It's not the cable modem ADD loop signal. And so I don't know what it is, and I'm not saying that it is a Breitbart signal. But I think everybody knows Steve. Everybody that listens to this show frequently has heard Steve from Georgia. Well, I had a conversation with Steve from Georgia today based on the fact that he posted something in our forums and about this, and so I wanted him to talk with you about it. He could not be here tonight because he's working, so we'll listen as he talks to us. Steve, last night we talked about this signal that I picked up, and you identified it as something particular. Tell us what you identified it as and why.
Well, Kevin, when I had to get up close to my high-definition TV, because that's where I feed your show into, I got up close to it so I could hear it. And as I started hearing the rhythm, I found my heart sinking with the rhythm. My heart rate speeded up. I could feel it speeding up. And it was speeding up enough where I felt that if you had continued to play that long enough, I probably would have got some shortness of breath out of it, and you know, maybe even some angina. And I know this to be part of an existing program that's out there that can override a person's cardiac rhythm and ultimately create fatal dysrhythmias in the heart.
Okay, what is your background that makes you understand the medical side of this?
Well, Kevin, I am a registered nurse. Most of my experience is in intensive care units and in the cardiac realm. I currently work in a cardiac decision unit behind a busy emergency room in a hospital that is the cardiac center of Southwest Georgia. And you know, I work with hearts, I work with pacemakers, I work with automated defibrillators. You know, I work with the heart every night that I'm at work. That's what I do.
You saw the graph of all those beats, and you had a response that you put in our forums. What did it look like to you?
Well, when you showed that graph, that visual of the graphs with those vertical spikes spaced the way they were, that's third-degree heart block. Third-degree heart block is a complete dissociation between the beats coming from the atrium, and that provides the atrial kick and helps the heart function as a pump the way it's supposed to. It dissociates those beats from the beats in the ventricles. The ventricle is ultimately what kicks the blood out of the heart to the rest of the body. The atrium delivers the blood to the lungs and gets it oxygenated and then pushes it to the ventricles of the heart. When you have a dissociation between those beats, we have what we call third degree heart block. That's a total block between what the atrium is doing and what the ventricles are doing. When that happens, the heart virtually ceases to function as a pump. Its electrical activity becomes so chaotic and uncoordinated that the heart can't pump blood to the lungs for oxygen pickup or CO2 elimination, and it can't function to pump blood efficiently into the rest of the body, particularly to the brain, to keep brain function going and function to the central organs. And if you sustain third-degree heart block for very long, you will collapse. And if you're by yourself and you can't get to a phone to call 911, that would be a fatal event. And even if you're brought to the hospital with third-degree heart block, it often results in the establishment of a pacemaker to correct that beat if it becomes chronic. And once you have a pacemaker, that pacemaker is very easily damaged with microwaves. Let me also say that the heart's intrinsic rhythm can be damaged by microwaves if they're focused, you know, the way Maser technology would do. Maser takes the microwave that normally comes from an oven, but the microwave oven just disperses that radiation outward, and it's not as effective as focused microwave. The same way laser light is far more damaging than just light from a light bulb, Maser technology is microwave radiation focused in a pinpoint that they can focus the SA node of your heart. They can focus the Purkinje fibers. They can focus the AV node. They can focus any part of your heart and alter the way your heart beats. It's a technology that's been in use probably since the 1960s.
Okay, there you have it. There was a lot more. We talked about a lot more things, but that's specifically about this signal. Jeff, it's just about time for us to head off to a break. Let me ask you, bottom line, was this signal, in your opinion, was this signal a Breitbart signal?
Best guesstimate I could make is Steve's absolutely right. It was a biological signal meant to cause something to happen.
Well, I've moved into the big time, haven't I? I'm off the porch and running with the big dogs. Now that if this is correct, if it's correct, then apparently somebody decided that it was time to target me for Breitbarting. Does that worry you, Jeff?
I've been there.
I know you have. And they almost succeeded with you, didn't they?
Yeah, I didn't even get a T-shirt.
All right. Well, look, we have to step away for break. Jeff, I want to thank you for being with me in this first segment, and you have a good evening.
You too, Kevin.
All right, folks, Dr. Jeff Bird, and it is time for us to step away for just a couple of minutes. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I didn't get Breitbarted during the break. I'm still here. And we are now going to do what we had planned to do last night, and that is what's on your radar. It's going open line, and I will open the telephones in just a moment. They're not open yet. I'll open the telephone lines in just a moment. I want to show you something first from the Curiosity rover. And, this one really has a possibility of being something truly anomalous in the sky. You see the little black dot. This is a picture taken by Curiosity. There's a little black dot up in the sky there. And the video does is zoom in on that black dot. Frankly, that black dot looks like an eagle to me. It looks like a big bird when it zooms in. And I'm not in any way suggesting that there are birds flying around the skies there on Mars, but this is not a pixel. This is something truly anomalous. And Curiosity Rover caught it. So I wanted to be sure and share that with you. Also, I want to share with you a video, and I'll describe it as well, that one of our listeners, well, in fact, both of these came from links that were sent to me by listeners in my suggestion box. So if you have suggestions of something you want me to look at, click on contact, then click suggestion, put the link in there that you want me to look at. I look at every one of them. I don't get a chance to use all of them, and you know, but I use a lot of them. And both of these came from listeners in my suggestion box. This next one is really, really, really interesting. The problem is, well, let me just show you. This is a couple of UFOs apparently landing in a field at nighttime. And it's pretty clear. It's pretty sharp video. And, of course, everybody always instantly wants to know, is it Photoshopped? Is it CGI? And me too. But if you keep watching this, you will see why it appears that it is not CGI and it is not Photoshopped. But here's the problem. The problem is that I don't know where this comes from. I don't know what part of the world this is in. Now, the explanation or the comments in the under the video there at YouTube are in German, but I got them translated. And, you know, it says that this originally came from, and it gives a YouTube username. So I tried to go over there, and that's not there anymore. I don't know. This happened apparently in July, I think is when this first showed up, in July of this year, I think. But it's not there now, and these UFOs are flying. There's some trees. It's nighttime. There's some trees. And the UFOs fly from right to left, go behind the trees, and then apparently set down in the field beyond the trees. Now, what happens is the person that did this video takes a daytime shot of the same location and then takes still shots out of the video and slides those still shots in so you can see that the UFOs actually go behind those trees and can be seen through gaps in the trees. It's absolutely fascinating, and it's one of the best UFO videos I have ever seen. But is it real or is it Memorex? Is it real or is it hoaxed? That, my friends, I cannot tell you, but I can tell you that if this is hoaxed, it's really done well. It has the aura of reality about it. So I don't know what to tell you on this one. But we're going to open up the telephone lines. We'll talk about the mysterious signal. We'll talk about UFO on Mars that we just took a look at, if you wish to, or we'll talk about the UFO landing in the field, or whatever is on your mind. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you're in the United States or Canada, please use the telephone number. If you're outside of the USA, outside of Canada, we'd love to hear from you, and that telephone number will work. However, we do know it can be expensive to make international long-distance calls. And so we have an additional option for you, and that additional option is on my website. It's called Flash Message. That's for people not in the USA, not in Canada. And you can use that to participate in tonight's show. We want to hear from you. It is Open Line Live. What's on your radar tonight? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Phil. This is Phil from Philadelphia.
Hello, Phil.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Hearing all the different signals and seeing this situation that you're into here, I was wondering if there's any way we could get a Faraday cage or some type of interrupter at your studio to protect you against such things.
I don't know, and I'm not sure with I just don't know about that Mazer technology that Steve talked about. I'm not sure whether a Faraday cage would even protect me from that. I don't know. But I do have I've got some aluminum foil. I can make me a little foil hat. What do you think? I wear hats, so.
Oh my! Well, I'd be I'm more than handy, and I would. Now's not the time to kid. I'll be glad to pitch in any way I can, hands on too.
Well, I appreciate it. Personally, I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, I really don't know about this signal. Because on one hand, what Rich had to say last night made sense. Louis had something to say about it. It made sense in a way. But then there were factors involved that didn't fit that. And then on the other hand, what Dr. Bird is telling me about his research, and then what Steve said, you know, working with heart patients in the hospital every day, and working with equipment that he sees these kind of signals. You know, I'm not sure which way it is, and I don't know really if I'm in any danger. But even if I am, I don't care. Honestly, it's not going to change one blink of my eye.
Yeah, I know. I know you well enough to know that that is true. I'm just kind of reaching out and offering any help that I can, you know, in any direction.
I truly appreciate it. And but, you know, honest, I don't know. If I was sitting in a lead-walled room, I don't know that would be protection against this kind of stuff. I don't know the technology, so I don't know. But I want you to be assured of the fact that I truly appreciate your offer.
Well, you're welcome. And maybe Steve or that other fellow, I forgot his name, mm-hmm. possibly would know.
Maybe they would. I'll check with them. Can't check with Steve till late tomorrow. He's working all night with heart patients. So he'll sleep in the morning and late tomorrow afternoon, perhaps I'll give him a call and ask him about this Mazer technology and whether a Faraday cage type thing would help.
Didn't they use those Faraday cages to block the remote viewers at one time back in the day when they were isolating themselves?
Yeah, it blocked them from a lot of, and maybe all, incoming electronic signals. But we didn't have microwave Mazer technology at that point, I don't think. Maybe we did. I don't know. So.
All right, Kevin. Well, thank you, and take care, please.
I shall, and thank you for your concern.
Good night.
Good night. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or if you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature on the website. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
I don't think you need a Faraday cage. I believe that, as Steve said, you are being protected by outside sources.
Well, that, you know, that I thought about that. There's not any known reason that Dr. Bird could come up with. And like I said, I mean, really, I can't talk about all of his credentials. This guy is credentialed out the wazoo when it comes to this sort of thing. And he could not think of any reason, any cause that would ever cause that signal to be audible on my speakers. And not at the same time be audible on the telephone that was hooked directly to that modem. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So something weird happened that caused the signal to become audible on my speakers. Perhaps that's some of that protection.
In other words, if you didn't hear that, you may have been subjected to this longer.
Yeah. Yeah. And
did you mention, excuse me, did you mention that Dr. Bird was physically attacked? I mean, as far as, did he survive a heart attack, or?
He was clinically dead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he was 37 years old at the time. So, yeah. And there's a whole story with that. If he ever decides to tell it, it'll be absolutely fascinating. And I'll put him on and he can tell it. But I'm not going to do that in his place. I know the story. It's fascinating, but it's up to him if he wants everybody else to know about it.
Well, maybe he'll be able to open up to your listeners. One other thing. You had Tim Ventura on the other night, and I asked him a few questions. And he mentioned about the Tesla turbine engine.
Yeah.
And I thought what was interesting about that was that he said that particulate matter wouldn't nullify its, you know, its performance.
Well, he wasn't talking about the Tesla turbine engine. He was talking about the Tesla turbines that you could put in a stream of water, for instance. Hey, you want to hang on through this break?
Sure, Kevin.
All right. Folks, we got to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me, and by the way, it is Open Line Live tonight. We want to know what's on your radar. And on the telephone with me is Jerome, and we kind of had to cut you off, Jerome, because the break took over.
Kevin, one last thing. You said you showed the UFO movies, and I believe those are, they may be UFOs, but they're terrestrial UFOs as opposed to extraterrestrial UFOs.
Could be.
And the reason I say this is they appear to be spotlights. And I don't think of any extraterrestrial that would have to use spotlights to illuminate something.
Well, they do sometimes. They send down a beam of light sometimes. But if you look at this closely, you have a big ball of light. It's not directing a beam of light anywhere. It's just a ball of light. Underneath it, there are two or three other orbs, small ones, of light. And I don't know, we can't tell if those are attached, but they're a good distance under the big ball of light. And so I don't know what to think about it, but I don't think it's CGI. I think this is real video, but I'm not sure, you know, real video of what.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at your screen now, you can see the big ball of light, and then there's two little orbs of light under it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing you how that nighttime shot matches with the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's a very interesting video, but I don't know whether it would be terrestrial or extraterrestrial. I have no idea what it is. But let me ask you, do you think it's CGI, or do you think it's something that was actually there in the sky?
I believe it's actual something there in the sky. I believe it's, I hate to use the word believe, I know, you know, what that, how that bothers you. And, but it looks like when you see that big ball of light,
uh-huh.
It seems like it's a spotlight shining straight at your face. And the two lower ones, it almost appears to me like it's a helicopter with two lower beams hanging on there and a direct light facing right into our eyes.
Yeah, well, what's on your screen now shows the one on the right, and it's got three orbs of light irregularly spaced.
Mm-hmm. But they're both similar. I mean,
yeah, but I don't think that one on the right cannot, I don't think, be a helicopter. The one on,
I'm not saying it's a helicopter. I just don't think that if it was ET, they would be illuminating the ground. I understand they do put a light beam down and stuff, but it just seems different from here. But it does appear like it's a legitimate film.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't know what it is. Which, of course, Jerome, that is why we call it a UFO.
Exactly, Kevin.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for your having your show on. Your guests are interesting, and your callers are also interesting.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the call.
Thank you.
What about you? What's on your radar? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Got a flash message from Paul in Australia, and Paul is telling me to he said, in the best tradition of the South, parentheses, and I think that's where you're from, keep your head down and your powder dry. Okay, Paul, we'll do that. But I don't know that I'll keep my head down, but yeah, I understand what you're saying, and thank you for your concern. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tom in Ohio.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Oh, not too bad tonight. I'm sitting here looking at the UFOs.
Uh-huh.
Is he shooting that through a window?
No. He's
outside?
He's outside.
Because it almost looks like the lights are, especially the one up on top, looks like a reflection.
Yeah, I thought so too. But I've read several analyses of this, and it's apparently being shot from outside. It's not being shot through glass. And on your screen now, you can see there's actually two separate light sources. And they're separated by the trees so that it could not be a reflection. But I thought so, too, at first.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if it was through glass or something, then it would explain the reflection look to it.
Yeah.
And,
now,
what it is, it's UFO.
It is a UFO.
UFO.
Do you think that this is something genuinely in the sky, or do you think this was CGI'd?
You know, it's really hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of that CGI stuff is pretty damn good.
Yeah, it is.
And if it's a fake, it's a good one.
Yeah, especially when we see it go behind the trees and we see the light come through the, you know, the spaces in between the leaves and stuff, that would be pretty hard to CGI, I think. But, you know, who knows? I'm not a Hollywood film producer, so I don't know.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call.
All right.
And I'll lean to a. I'll say this. I'll lean to a. It's a real video.
I think it is. I just there's no way that I can tell what those things are. And as you said, so we just have to leave it with it is a UFO. It's unidentified. Don't know where it's from, but it's weird. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Uh-huh. Take care.
Thanks. 623-444-5889. This is one of the real problems in the world of UFOs. Is there are so many people that produce hoaxes, but this one really kind of has the look and feel of something genuine about it. To me, it does. What about you? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
It's probably been 40 years or more since I saw this, something similar to this, but you ever see Coyote Hunters?
Yeah, but I've never seen coyote hunters in the air.
No, I'm thinking one of them could have been in the air, but I'm thinking one of them could have been mounted on a pole in the back of a truck spotlight, and the other one, the one with the thing out to the side, could have been handheld out the window. I'm not saying that's what it is, but that's reminiscent of what it looks like to me.
Okay. I don't see that, but... Because, you know, that tree, where he goes behind that tree, he's at least 30 feet off the ground. That would be a heck of a pole to be hanging out the window.
And I think the pole would be mounted in the back of the truck to illuminate a bigger area. And the one with the three lights instead of two, I'm thinking the third one could have been a handheld spotlight. But that, I guess that's just going from my experience as to what I would see.
Yeah, but that's pretty high in the air to be holding a spotlight.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Do you get your video project finished?
It should be in your suggestion box.
Okay. Outstanding. I'm anxious to see it.
I have one question for you.
Okay.
Are you using any Alka-Seltzer or anything?
No.
Because I can tell your voice is scratchy.
Oh, that yeah, well, that's it is, but that's because the weather changed drastically here today, and that's sinus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you take care.
All right, thank you. Let me clear my throat. Yeah, that's, you know, I'm very, very subject to weather changes like that, and I don't take medicine. So... yeah, you'll hear changes in my voice sometimes because of that. 623-444-5889. And as I was saying, you know, the one of the great big huge problems in the world of UFOs is there are so many people who for whatever reason just decide they're gonna do it. And so they make a hoaxed video. And then they say, well, I just wanted to prove how gullible everybody is. You know what? Every damn election you prove that. You don't have to make a video. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are open line tonight. What's on your radar? Now, we've been talking about this mysterious signal that we picked up here in the studio, and I hope you caught the first part of the show because there was further research done on that by Dr. Bird, and he determined it was definitely not the loop signal in the modem, the problem that was described by at least one caller and maybe a couple of callers last night. He said it sounds similar. On the graph, they look similar until you isolate each one and look at the waveform, and the waveform is not similar. It is definitely not that. And so we talked about it during the first segment of the show, and we've been talking about a couple of videos here that show unidentified something in the air, so unidentified flying objects, one of them on Mars, one of them, two of them here on Earth. But that's what I put on the table. You can bring to the table whatever you desire to bring to the table because we want to know what's on your radar. We have a flash message here from Ross, and let me remind all of you who are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, we want to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. Every once in a while, we have someone from overseas on the other side of the planet from me that will call and talk to us, and I love it when that happens. We do want to hear from you because, you know, no matter where you live, you're part of the Kevin Smith Show family, and we love to hear from you. But we know it can be expensive to make those international long-distance calls. So we have flash messages available for you. And what you can do is go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture is a link that says flash message. And we have a flash message from Ross in Scotland, and he says, "Hi, Kevin, you know how sometimes when you put a mobile phone close to speakers or a pair of headphones, you can hear that sound of the high-frequency radio working. Maybe your cable modem has been bugged or somehow hacked so that it was generating a Breitbart signal and your speakers were picking it up like the cell phone example. Have you detected the signal since you rebooted your cable modem? Maybe you should try placing switched-on speakers next to it and see what happens." Ross, excellent suggestion, and I have done that. And no, there is no signal now, at least not one that the speakers pick up. The really weird thing here, and this is, you have to kind of think technologically, but the really weird thing for me as a layman in this was that it was coming over the speakers, apparently from the cable modem, which is across the room, but it was coming over the audio speakers here in the studio, and I was on the telephone, and it was not coming over the telephone. Now, you might say, well, yeah, what's the deal with that? Well, this telephone is a Vonage system. That means it runs on the internet. And that means that it was hooked directly to that cable modem. So if the cable modem was putting the signal out, you would think I would hear it over the telephone as well, because it's audio and it's hooked directly to the cable modem. But it wasn't coming over the telephone. It only came over the audio speakers. And then of course, you heard what Dr. Bird said in the beginning of the show, and you heard what Steve said, and you know, I am totally a babe in the woods technologically on this stuff, and so I have to take the word of some experts here, and one of them is a medical expert. One of them is medical electronics expert, and believe me, expert in a whole bunch more stuff. And by the way, Dr. Bird is the he is one fantastic musician. And let's see if I can find. I want to play for you just a little bit. Every single thing you're about to hear is being played by Dr. Jeff Bird. Every single thing you just heard, except that beep, every instrument in there is being played by Dr. Jeff Bird. And he's a fantastic musician, fantastic writer, writes a lot of music, produces a lot of music, but in his real job, when he, you know, he goes into a phone booth at the end of the day, and he changes clothes into a musician. He comes out as Musician Man. But in his real job during the day, he is an extremely high-level electronics engineer. And anyway, you know, I have to take into consideration and take seriously what these two gentlemen tell me. I cannot say, even though I have absolutely no reason to doubt what they're telling me, I cannot say that I know that that signal is a Breitbart signal. I think I can say that whatever it was, it's not that cable modem ADD loop signal that they talked about. I don't even know what that is. But it's not that. Dr. Bird analyzed it, and he said, no, the waveform is completely different, even though the pattern is very similar. The waveform is very, very different. So I don't know if you caught what he said about the difference, but I understand this much, and I can describe it. When you isolate one of those pulses, we have a wave, you see a wave form on the left, and it's kind of ramping up, and then there's a big spike, and on the other side of that big spike, it ramps back down. With the ADD loop, that ramp up on the left is not there. Just the one on the right. And so that's what I understood from what he told me. I'm not sure what the significance is, but he did tell me he develops electronics, electronic medical devices, high-end electronic medical devices. He designs them. And he said that that signal is... it has all the earmarks of being a biological signal and the pattern, a biological pattern. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. What's on your radar? Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is James from Texas.
Hello, James.
There's a company that makes ear protectors that defeat what they're describing as a potential in that signal. They make them for the military, but I was successful in buying them.
Uh-huh. And it will defeat that signal?
The technology is called dual core ear protector. They make plugs and headphones.
What do you think? What do you make of this signal? What's your take on it?
If that spike is sound amplitude, doesn't have to be in the hearing range.
Mm-hmm.
It can shock the thalamus. And if they match the beat of your heart, if they match the frequency of thought or resonance, they can kill you.
So is it your opinion then that this is that what I captured here and recorded was a Breitbart signal?
There's strong suggestion of that.
Well,
yes.
I don't know. I really don't know. But you know me, and you know when I said that's not going to change even a blink of my eye, that's absolutely true.
Well, you can. I would still recommend, just to be on the safe side, that you get headphones from these people, or they get the earplugs, because the earplugs won't hurt your hearing.
Mm-hmm. What if they're using microwave maser technology to beam that in here? You know, I suggested this last night. Let's say that it was not actually coming in over my cable modem, but that it was being beamed in here, and the cable modem was resonating with it and was causing that to be heard on my speakers. What if the cable modem is not the source of it, but was just resonating with it? Then, if that had not happened, I wouldn't have heard it. Therefore, the earphones, ear protection, would not be in play here, would it?
Well, we know that, you know, we have one aspect of a sound weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be wedded with a psychotronic device as well. But
yeah, what I'm saying is, what if this is not a sound? What if this is just a radio wave, like a microwave that's carrying that signal? For instance, right now, every radio station in Fort Worth, Texas, is playing in your body, but you don't hear it. What if it? What if it's like that?
Well, I think sound is far more lethal than microwave. They have sound weapons in their so-called non-lethal weaponry arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to use on demonstrators.
Mm-hmm.
And if they change the settings on those, they have control on all the military devices in that arsenal. They have lethal settings.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to knock out the crowd, put them down. They can do it just with the setting. This is the most lethal weapon there is, sound weapon.
Well, I will look into those headphones.
The company that makes them is EAR. And you have to go to the military section, and you'll get, they'll try to block you, but just go through that window. And you can buy the earplugs and a sound detector. Now, this detector will detect amplitude in the inaudible range.
Okay.
You can get both for $50.
Wow. Okay.
And I recommend them to people. You know, I've been trying to get people interested in this for a long time, because if you're going to be going to a demonstration or whatever, it'd be nice to have these.
Mm-hmm.
They make them for the military.
Yeah, well, you certainly wouldn't want the guys running the machinery to be subject to it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't. I haven't been Breitbarted yet. But I wonder if an attempt was made now. Yesterday, I didn't know. Today I don't know, but I wonder. Tomorrow I may know.
Well, you're smart to get it out in the open.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure there's any protection in that. But at least if something were to happen, the whole world would know what really happened. You know, I wondered about Tim Russert. You know, Tim Russert was about to dig off into some really heavy political stuff, and bang, he died. Heart attack. And Breitbart, he gets an interview with Joe Arpaio, and before he can write his article that night, bang, heart attack. Now, there are people who say, well, it's just a coincidence. That's precisely what these weapons are made for. They are made for plausible deniability.
That's right. Exactly.
And by the way, you can find that in documents that are not classified. You can find that those statements that, you know, that they were developing these so-called non-lethal weapons for plausible deniability purposes.
Well, up until 10 years, well, not 10 years ago, but up until about 7 years ago, they were selling psychotronic devices online and telling you what they would do, and, you know, they weren't expensive. The most sophisticated ones were like $1,200, and they, you know, you could do all kinds of nasty things to your neighbors with them.
Wow. Well, I don't want to do any nasty things to my neighbors. I don't want to do any nasty things to anybody. But I don't want them done to me either.
We could move to Washington, D.C.
Do what?
We could move to Washington, D.C. Might change a few attitudes for the better.
No, I like what's left, the remnants of sanity that are still left in the country, and I don't think there's very much of that there. So, well, listen, James, I want to thank you for the call. Very interesting. I'm going to check those earphones out, and I recommend everybody else check them out as well.
Please do. Please do.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Kevin. Good night.
Good night. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA, outside of Canada, use the Flash message feature or call us. We'd love it either way. We just want to hear from you. What's on your radar? Now, we don't have to discuss any of the things that I've put on the table. We can discuss anything else you want to, as long as it's within the genre of the strange and unexplained. I think certainly this signal is strange and it's unexplained. And, you know, if I could pick which of the explanations I've received about this, if I could pick the one I like, it'll be the one that Rich gave us. The guy that called from Southern California last night. I would choose his explanation. I have absolutely no reason to think that Dr. Bird is wrong or that Steve is wrong, but I sure hope they are. And I really, really hope that they are. But if they're not and I get Breitbarted, let me tell you now, I love you, and it's been great for 12 years. But I want to hear from you tonight. It's not over yet, and may not be over for a while. Maybe an attempt was made, and it failed. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case. I mean, I got a lot of questions about this. It's all up in the air, and I don't know. But, you know, maybe an attempt was made, and for whatever reason, the equipment gave me the telltale signs that something was up, and maybe that what I did thwarted the attempt. I don't know. But I will say this. I will say that as long as I am alive, I'll be at this microphone because you have a right to know. And you matter. Don't let anybody tell you you don't matter. Don't let anybody convince you that you don't matter. There are people that treat you like that. You know what I say about it? People who think you don't matter, don't matter. They truly don't. UFOs. Well, some people think that whenever we talk about UFOs, we're talking about only here on Earth. And they think that we're always talking about visitors from far off out in space somewhere. That's not the case. We don't know what UFOs are. That's why we call them U. It stands for unidentified. Unidentified flying object. But they're on Mars, too. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Louis from Connecticut.
Hey, Louis.
Here's something for you, Kevin.
All right.
Next time you talk to Dr. Bird, I have a funny thing happening right here in my house where the new flat-screen TV, okay?
Yeah.
Every time I go into one room, that I only got one flat-screen TV in this room. Now I got the same satellite service in all the rooms.
Uh-huh.
But that particular room with the new flat-screen TV, I always get a headache. But when I go into the next room with the older model TV, it's no problem. Is there something in the new TV that can cause this problem?
Well, that I don't know, but it would not surprise me. We have been told that those TVs have built into them behind the screen, they have cameras where they can look out at you.
Okay, because I wonder, every time I go in that room, I get all kind of headaches.
Yeah.
But when I, shut that TV off and go into the older room with the older model TVs, no problem.
Do you have a laptop computer?
No. I just got a desktop.
Does it have a webcam?
No.
Okay, well, people, especially people with laptop computers, have noticed. And I bet a bunch of you right now listening to me, you've noticed this. Every once in a while, that little light up there next to your camera comes on. Your camera has come on, is what's happened. Did you ever wonder why? Did you ever wonder, so who's looking at you?
Yes, a possibility, yeah.
Well, they can do that with your flat screen TV without you even knowing it. They just look out through the screen at you.
Yep, because... here's another thing. Apple is going to come out where they can control your camera on your phone, where they can shut it off.
And why would we want to buy something that somebody else can control?
Right. Well, we do.
There will be a lot of people that buy it, yeah. Yeah, there'll be a lot of people that buy that. Have no idea, it's just little bit by little bit by little bit. They have already, it's not that they are giving up their freedom. They have given it up. Hey, Lou, we got a break taking over, man. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye. All right, folks, we're going to step away and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight, and we're asking the question, what is on your radar? I got a flash message from James in Germany, and it's a little bit long. I'll summarize. He's talking about my suggestion that a little bit earlier that I have some aluminum foil. I can make a hat, and... he's suggesting that I need to do just that, and he wants to see me on the air with the aluminum hat, the aluminum foil hat. probably not going to happen. But thanks, James, from Germany. I appreciate that. What's on your radar screen? You know, when we do Open Line Live, I bring a few topics to the table. Those are starters, folks. They're just starters. There are other things in the world of the strange and unexplained that you've been thinking about, and you just wonder, well, what about this? What about that? Well, let's talk about it. 623-444-5889. I was saying that this this picture from the Curiosity rover, it's a still picture, but the video that our members are seeing now zooms in on this spot in the sky in that picture. It is a sort of V-shaped dark spot. I said, you know, it kind of looks like an eagle, you know. I'm not saying it is an eagle. I'm saying it's kind of shaped that way. It's a little bit of a V shape. But I did see, whenever I was watching this over at YouTube, I read in some of the comments, one person said it's a bird, and somebody else really scorched him because of that, and then he said, come on, it's a joke. And the next guy said, oh, the heck with that, it's a bird. No, it's not a bird, I don't think. I could be wrong. But I don't think so. I don't think that's a bird. I also don't think that's a pixel. And before you say, well, that is probably dust on the camera lens, I want you to remember that If you're watching the show right now, you're looking at something very zoomed in. Okay? You're not looking at, I mean, that's what it looks like until you zoom in. It's not a speck of dust on the camera lens. If it was, then it would look like the zoomed in picture all the time. You wouldn't have to zoom in on it in order to see it. Does that make sense to you? Because the dust would be right up on the lens, and so very, very close to the surface taking the picture. And so I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's a speck of dust. So let's talk about Mars a little bit. We haven't done that. What do you think? Do you think that it's possible, genuinely, really possible, that there is life on Mars? I'll go out on a limb. I'll tell you, as I've said before, I think there is life on Mars, and I think NASA knows it, and I think NASA proved it in 1976. They ran an experiment designed by Dr. Gil Levin, and it was the Viking lander had that experiment on it. They ran that experiment checking to see if there were biological processes present on Mars. The experiment said yes. NASA immediately announced it. They were thrilled. And then within a few hours, they backed up and said, no, we think that was a mistake. We think there was an error in the experiment. So we're going to run another experiment. And they ran one not designed to check for biological processes. And it didn't find any. So they stuck with that one and said, well, you see, that one shows that the first one was wrong. I don't think so. And I'm not the only one who disagrees with that. A great many major scientists around the world have re-examined that evidence, that data from that experiment, and have said NASA found life. Now, when I say that NASA found life on Mars, and I'm agreeing with those scientists, I think they're right. I'm not saying that I think that there are, you know, cities and, you know, with, you know, bus lines and trains and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I think that there's upright intelligent life there. I'm also not saying they're not there. I don't know. What I am saying is it's possible because that experiment said, that experiment indicated that yes, there are biological processes taking place on Mars. I don't know if we're talking about little microscopic biology or something a little bit more complex, or if we're talking about, you know, upright intelligent beings. Maybe we're talking about all of that. I don't know. But when we talk about Mars, we're talking about, well, obviously one of my favorite subjects, and it's one of my favorite subjects because it's one of NASA's darkest subjects. You know, over and over I've dealt with these photographs that NASA gives us and shown how they smudge things out, how they color the sky. This picture right here that everybody's looking at, the sky has a reddish tint to it. I guarantee you that sky does not have a reddish tint. Right there where the Curiosity rover is sitting, that sky is as blue as the sky on this Earth. But that picture has a red tint to it. And they do this over and over and over. And I've shown you, when you strip out that red haze that they install, you get these pretty much crystal clear pictures. So that's what I mean when I say NASA, Mars is one of NASA's darkest subjects. They work overtime to keep us from seeing what's really there. And aren't you a little curious about that? I mean, doesn't that make you a little bit curious? You want to know, well, why? What is there about Mars they don't want us to know? There's a video clip. You can find it on YouTube. And you know how NASA has, they have these press conferences where they'll have a big long table up on the stage. And they have, you know, five or six scientists sitting up there. Well, maybe two or three scientists, and the rest of them are some kind of administrators. But you got all these people sitting up there. And the press asks them questions, and somebody in that group will answer the questions, right? You can find this still on YouTube. And that is a press conference at NASA where someone asked, with this new program, the Curiosity, with this new program, if you were to find signs of life, how long a delay, would there be a delay, or would you report it out to the public immediately? I mean, how would you handle that process? And the guy who does the answering hums and haws around for a while, and then finally said that it would be quite a delay before they did it, before they told the public. So, Mars is curious, and but one of the planets that to me is even more curious is Venus. Up until this mission right here, the Curiosity mission, there had been more missions to Venus than to Mars. Did you know that? Up till this mission right here, the Curiosity mission, all the space agencies combined doing all the missions they do, and, you know, missions to Mars, well, there's been us, there's been the Russians, and there's been the European Space Agency. That's who's been to Mars. And for Venus, there's us and the Russians. So, two space agencies trying to explore Venus combined had done more missions to Venus than three space agencies did to Mars. This mission, the Curiosity mission, puts Mars over the line. It's in the lead now. There are more missions to Mars than to Venus. But up till this one, Venus was in the lead. Well, after that last Mars mission, the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, that brought them even. And this one puts it across the line for Mars. Now, here's the question. We do get a lot of pictures from Mars, monkeyed with, to be sure. We get a lot of pictures from Mars. With more missions having been sent to Venus, why do we know almost nothing about Venus? Do you know how many people there are who have no idea that the Russians landed on Venus 8 times? The Russians successfully landed probes on Venus, soft landing, not crash landing. Now, we crash landed one. We weren't even trying to land. We just crashed, fell down on the surface. Our get up and go got broke, and we fell. So we were down on the surface. But Russia successfully landed 8 times on the surface of Venus. I talk to people all the time who are just astounded. They had no idea. Well, see, that's what this show's for, to help you get an idea of what reality is. Help you get an idea of what really is going on. Why have we not heard more about Venus? Why haven't we seen more pictures from Venus? Because we've put satellites around it. The Russians have put satellites around it. And the Russians have landed 8 times. They took pictures, they took videos from the surface of Venus. What do you suspect there is about Venus that has it so dark? I mean, we get pictures from Mars, and they are, you know, these pictures are monkeyed with, even the one we're looking at on our TV channel. It's monkeyed with. There's red haze and a blue sky here. But we do get pictures. So, what's the deal with Venus? We get nothing. We get nothing. Doesn't that indicate to you there might be more going on at Venus than is going on at Mars? The darker the black hole, the more powerful it is. Or maybe we should say, the more powerful a black hole is, the darker it gets. And so, I've always wondered, you know, it's very, very difficult. If you try to find out anything about Venus, it's going to be hard for you to find pictures. And when you do find pictures, I mean, you'll find a few right off the bat, but it's going to be difficult for you to find a lot of pictures. You know why? Because they've taken a lot of pictures offline. What's up with that? All right, we're going to step away for break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. This is Open Line Live. Although for the last 20 minutes it's been Kevin Smith all alone here in the studio. But if you want to participate, we want you to. If you don't want to, don't. It's a use it or lose it proposition. Rena in the UK said, got a flash message from Rena. I copied it down here during the break. And she says, I'm saddened by the news that someone may have attempted to Breitbart you. What has our world come to? Thank you, Rena. I don't know that that's what happened. I want to make that clear. I don't know that that's the case. It might be. But what has our world come to? It's come to where your silence has led us. Not you, Rena. You talked. I know people get absolutely ticked off when I say that. And they make all kinds of excuses to themselves for why I'm wrong. And yet you know I'm right. Our world has come to where your silence has led us. Think about it. And where are we headed? We're headed to where your silence is leading us. All right. The signal. It's dark, mysterious. Not sure what it is. If it is a Breitbart signal, it's even darker. Mars. Well, Mars is a dark planet. It's dark, not physically, but the information is dark. We're only allowed to see through smoke and haze. They don't let us have a clear picture of what's really going on there. But Venus is even darker, folks. You know, if you didn't know that the Russians landed on Venus 8 times and you're my age, you got to wonder where your head's been. They have done 8 times what we could not do on Venus. And they've got pictures from the surface. They've got movies, you know, videos from the surface. You owe it to yourself to check those out. Something's up at Venus. Something big is up at Venus. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is John in Arizona.
Hello, John.
How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Real good. I think sometimes, and I speak, you know, because I was kind of lost in thought, but I think a lot of people are afraid because they get into their own routine and the rut of the daily requirements, and they forget that there are people in the world with a great deal of money and a great deal of power who really don't have our best interests at heart.
You're absolutely correct.
And it scares them.
There's more of us than there are of them.
There is, but when we come to that, when that little light goes on in our head or we're reminded of it, we're usually sitting alone in our room listening to you, and we need to be reminded, you know, that there's a lot more of us than there are of them, but they like to play that poker game and bluff.
Well, of course, sometimes they're not bluffing. Sometimes, you know, they'll go ahead and do something to try and send a message. But that's the bluff itself. They do something to somebody to try and send a chilling message to the rest of us unwashed masses, and that's when we need to rise up and bite butt right there.
True. We need to remember that with all their power, they can't wipe us off the map without affecting their lifestyle, because their lifestyle flatly depends on a whole great many of us who make their life easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the more of us they destroy, the tougher that is. And with all of their technology, they're never going to get all of us.
No, and in the end, honest to God, we win.
Right.
And, you know, I think they're running scared, actually. I think they realize that their time to have a chokehold on this planet and its economy is just about over. And it really, really is. It's just about over.
It is, you know, and true, they have a lot of military weapons, they have a lot of manpower, but only if they concentrated in a small area, even during World War II when everyone was fighting, most of the fighting went on for short periods of time in very, very concentrated areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that, what is there, a million people in the armed forces now in the United States?
Something like that. There's 200 million in the Chinese army.
Right. But there are 80 million people who are gun owners that we know about in the United States. So we outnumber them 80 to 1.
Yeah, but that's true. But listen, all of these guns against what the military's got is pea shooters, man.
Well, true. But like I said, you know, they still, it's a bluff. You know, some of us are going to die, you know. Everybody's going to die eventually.
Eventually. Well, I hope it doesn't come to, any kind of violent revolution. But whether it does or whether it doesn't, either way, the elite are finished.
Well, along your lines earlier of people calling in and participating in, and my idea that maybe they're afraid, I hope that somewhere in a some small way people can attribute a Breitbart effort, at least on my part, before I go. You know, that I shined a light somewhere and somebody else, that spark grew and blossomed into, you know, a better America.
Well, and a better world. But, right. You know, the thing is this. I don't make any excuses. It's PC for me to make excuses for why people are scared. I don't think anybody has an actual right to be scared into not doing what's right. And if they are, shame on them. Time for them to grow up.
And I agree, but I think it's a natural response. You know, you get scared in the beginning, and then you come to the realization that, you know, there are things in this world that you don't have any control over, and you go back to the parts of the world that you can control and have an effect on and do the very best you can.
Yeah, years ago, but you know, if you don't stick your head out of that envelope and take a bite, you never make any progress. And the only direction you can go by being silent and ducking your head is down. And that's the direction we're headed. I wish we had more time, John. We don't. We're absolutely out of time. But I want to thank you for calling.
You bet.
All right. I get email where people say, well, you're just not understanding. Yeah, I understand real well. I understand cowards kill freedom. That's what I understand. Well, you're not very nice. No, I'm not. But I am very true. And, it's our silence all across the board, not just at this show. Our silence all across the board has led us to the tyranny you're in now. And it's leading us to a tyranny you cannot begin to imagine. So am I very nice about it? No, I'm not. I'm a nice guy, but I'm not nice about that. I'll always tell you the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes it makes you angry. My friends call me Steel Eye, and I have precious few of those. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.